Hi, this is Tiffany, and I love AVA Live Radio.
This is Brian J. Klein, and I love AVA Live
Music.
Hey,
this is Rob Hill from Canada, and I absolutely love AVA Live Radio.
Hi, this is Tara Everly of Iridescence, and I love AVA Live Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Jacqueline Jax, and I love AVA Live Radio.
This is Lainey Nash, and I love AVA Live Radio.
Coming up next on the show, I've got a Behind the Music episode with Peebo Wilson. This is his song, I Drink Alone. We'll be right back after this with more on this story.
I saw you dancing with another in the glass within my body's frame. Slowly starts to break. My tears freeze quickly in this weather. Well, I'm heading for the sunshine and I'm never coming back. The emotions swell up like a storm. I didn't get too close, 'cause I've been burned. Now I know why love is the color in. You're like an empty playground without sound. A seesaw, you're so up and down. Now it's time for me to fade away. So here I am in this crowded bar, an empty stool right next to me with an empty heart. And I'm sorry for everything I've done, for the man I can't become, for my fear of being in love. And I'm wasting alone, but I can't take, like a dog without a bone, homesick without a home. That's why I drink alone. Change is good for some, not others. Why do I even bother going out with friends at night? I lie and say I'm feeling better, but the truth is it's your sweater that I hold on through the night. Well, you know I chased you like a storm. I didn't get too close, 'cause I've been burned. Now I know why love is the color red. You're like an empty playground without sound. Seesaw, you're so up and down. Now it's time for me to fade away. Now here I am in this crowded bar, an empty stool right next to me with an empty. And I'm sorry for everything I've done, for the man I can't become, for my fear of being in love. And I'm wasted alone, but I can't take it. I'm a dog without a bone, homesick without a home. That's why I drink alone.
A beautiful song, I Drink Alone, by Newport, Tennessee artist, Wild Man Peebo Wilson. Hello, welcome, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. You know, the first thing I want to ask is, how do you set your guitar on fire?
Well, if I told all my secrets, everybody would be doing it.
How is that happening? Oh, my God. I was like, do you really play with the guitar on fire, or is that like just something for the the pictures?
Yes. The guitar only lasts for like a minute and 4 seconds. And after
that
everything is melted. And you know, strings pop and all that good old stuff.
Oh, so it's an actual guitar you're setting on fire and destroying each time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I was wondering. Oh, my gosh. I was wondering about that because I thought, how does he get that to happen?
Yeah, there's no faking. There's no Photoshopping. The guitar has to last that long.
Yeah. Doesn't it hurt? Do you ever get it on your fingers? Like, is there any resin that melts down and gets on you and burns you?
Yeah, the keys and stuff melt and, like, lands on my foot and things like that. I'll burn my hand every once in a while, but nothing I don't recuperate from.
What made you do that?
I don't know. It's just the fact that you, in this business, you really got to stand out. You got to do something out of the ordinary to put yourself in good positions. And that's something I have learned over the years. And I thought, well, why not? You know?
Wow, that's cool. I have to say, you know, you're making your mark on country music. That's for sure. What else have you acquired? What other skills are you using on stage shows that we should look out for?
Let's see. I pulled a little Alice Cooper trick, but I sort of went another level with it. I set, I get in the casket. I have the guys, they'll set it on fire. I'm inside it with the snake. We bust out of it, you know, after it burns for, I don't know, I usually try to go a minute until I can really, really feel the heat. I know it's time bust out of there.
Whoa.
We do that. I don't do the same thing every show. We always try to mix it up.
Yeah.
And all that. Of course, I'll blow a little fire or something like that, and, you know, but you got to hold your breath for so long because you can't swallow or inhale that stuff because it'll shut your lungs down. I got to be real safe with everything I do.
Yeah. Does somebody teach you how to do this? Like, do you take lessons from somebody who does it professionally?
No, I try it out.
Circus performers? This isn't like a YouTube scenario, right? Can I just tell you? Oh, great. Is there a YouTube? There must be a YouTube channel because you've got to put this on YouTube, right? This would totally go viral.
Well, it's been in some of my videos and all, but I haven't really tried to. I don't fool with YouTube a lot. I put it on there to save it.
Yeah.
But, you know, because YouTube, they got to where they've taken a lot, like thousands of views off, and they was blaming it on like a virus or something, and I just quit fooling with them. I just put it on Facebook and be done with it and move on with my life. I don't worry
Isn't that
about
true?
It.
Yeah, YouTube, well, it's such a huge community. You never know, you know, what's going to happen with your content. I do the same thing. I kind of like create and then put it on the website, and then I keep copies of it and make sure that I don't lose it, because I've had things disappear even off of Facebook. We've had a lot of artists with their videos disappearing. What do you think makes a mark in country? I mean, like, so you have this experience now where you've been trying to really stand out on stage and make people remember your name and pay attention right when you're there. So making your mark as a country music artist today, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that you have to go this far?
Yes. Unfortunately, it does, unless you are kin to somebody in the business and you are, say, maybe 17, 18-year-old, and, you know, where they can do like a long term and make you the way they want you. And that's one thing I've learned, because I have traveled with big artists and I've done shows. But I tell you, to know that you're doing something right, when you can bring a 9-time Grammy-winning band off of their bus and stand in front of you during your whole show, you're doing something right. And then when they get on stage, they're singing about you.
Because they want to see you set your guitar on fire. Yeah, that's awesome.
They didn't know what I was going to do. Nobody knows. You never know.
I love it. I don't know what I'm going to do. The element of surprise. Oh, that's pressure. Okay, that's good, though. It's so true. Yeah. So true.
I mean, my band don't even know what's going to go on.
Well, listen, I mean, that's what Lady Gaga set her motion on, right? She stood out because, I mean, she really went completely different. You never knew what was going to happen. If she's going to show up at the Grammys in an egg, like as an alien being reborn, or right. She's going to wear a meat dress, right? There was always something really, right. really unique, and you never knew what it was going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's cost me quite a bit as far as equipment, you know, and things
yeah.
gotten shattered and burnt and all
sure.
that. But everything is paid off for me.
I love it. That's so funny. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, since I was 16 years old.
Wow.
So it's been quite a bit. I started out as a metal musician.
Oh, you did?
And then I realized that I could get paid money for doing country. And I thought, why not? It's a whole lot easier. And then I got to just writing my own songs because I got tired of doing cover songs. I started taking it serious. And then when I did that, everything just picked up and started moving fast for me.
Do you find that in country music today, the success is with the feel-good songs over the heartbreak songs? Like, I notice a trend, and I feel like maybe it has to do with the economy, you know, and the way people have been kind of very frustrated with social situations and social media. And, you know, there's a lot of depression going on. But do you feel that the feel-good songs get more of a draw than the heartbreak songs, or is that still, you know, the right balance that it used to be?
I still think it's a good balance, but the music that's out today, everything is tailgates and bonfire. You know, it's the same
right.
old stuff. And
yeah.
it's all over Nashville. And I write with hit writers, and that's just the way the four major labels pushes that. They think that is what it is. You know, I think that's growing up, you know, and all I do, what's helped me, I just write what's happened to me. You know, I don't go in there and try to make something up. And
it's amazing
and
how things switch, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just moods of people more or less how it rolls. But
I mean, if you think of what party songs mean. You know, party songs, uplifting, feel good songs, right? Like, you know, getting together and celebrating with friends and hanging out. And it seems to me like more and more people are pushing those songs because more and more people just want to forget the reality that they're in, you know, like they're not as wanting to wallow in, you know, in the emotion of life. And they just, maybe they're just not relating to the struggles anymore as they used to, or they just want to forget the struggles.
Well, they haven't. I don't really think they've had the struggles as it was, you know, before. It's a problem because any party I'm with, when it's like that, it's rock and roll.
Right.
It's the country, and they always pull out. I don't care where you're at, it can be a party, but it always winds up turning into Jones and Haggard. And the rock and roll, the AC/DC stuff, you know, they just want to just dance and jam.
Do you feel that the trend these days is to mix country into your own unique style? Like, in other words, if you, like, you're a rock musician, right, originally, and you obviously are very, very equipped for country. It just seems to be part of you. Mixing the two styles, does that make sense in today's country? Can you still make it by doing that?
I think so, because my new single, it's doing good on rock stations too. And we haven't released it to all the country stations yet. We're waiting on the video to be done next week. And it's just... And my other song before that, it was... Same way, country and rock, it was so good with it. add that mixture flavor of everything.
I agree. I think that just good songs are good songs, you know, like when you're first starting out as a musician, you obviously have to figure out what your brand's going to be, what people are going to be able to count on from you. And if you keep delivering it, you know, then they're going to keep coming back. Right. But if the minute you stop delivering it, then they're like, oh, I like the old stuff better. Kind of similar to what Norah Jones did with her album after the Grammy. Everybody's like, what? We want more of that. You know, what happened? But I think that, like, when you hit on something that's true to your heart and it's just really good music that you're, it's authentic to you, then maybe it doesn't really matter what it's mixed with and what the current trend is, as long as it speaks to you, right? Comes from a really good place. Because at this stage in the game, as a new musician, like you said, you're getting on stage and finding other ways to get people's attention and to surprise them so that they will listen to the music and listen to what you have to say.
Exactly. Exactly. If it's real and they can relate to you, it really don't care what genre it is, they're going to get in with it on you. And it's just, I think that's just what the music really is moving toward, is just real people. It's not none of this fake stuff, all this electronic drum track stuff and all that. It's just people want to know that you fit with them.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
If they're sad, you can be sad with them. You know, it's back and forth.
It's funny we should be talking about authenticity, because I've felt for at least the last year being on social media every single day that the thing that was missing was authenticity. And it ultimately did shift that way, and more so this year. And I feel like all creation is kind of following along with it, where we used to get so excited about just producing, right? Just be like, yeah, let's just create tons of content. Everybody wanted more and more and more. But what that did is it took authenticity out of the mix, because then focused on creating just more stuff for people to consume, right? But you can only create so much authentic stuff for people to consume, and then it gets exhausting, you know, and you start cutting corners, right? So it seems to be shifting now again to authenticity. And you can't just be a songwriter, even if you're writing for someone else. You have to have really felt this emotion that you're talking about. Do you feel that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I haven't done it, I don't write it. It's just, and I've done so, well, you can probably tell a lot of my stuff that you've seen. I've got into a lot of stuff over the years. And I just go back and just think about it, and I write it, you know. If some of it's sad, some of it may be good, you know. I just let it out there, and if people like it, that's great, you know. That's fine, but I'm gonna keep it real.
Well, you do a great job keeping it real, and I like to hear that. What's coming up from you in this next few months?
Well, I got another movie to do. Got that.
Back, tell me about the movie.
Another one on Amazon Prime.
Tell me about the movie.
Co-starred in a movie called Red Forest. Been doing some of these thriller movies.
Really?
And, you know, we get to kill people every once in a while without getting in trouble. You know.
You're so funny. I love it.
Just doing that. But,
how'd you get into that?
Yeah, but, my production crew that handles my videos. They just hit me up about it, and I said, well, yeah, shoot, I've tried. I mean, I've done some plays, you know, a few years ago, and so we did that, and everything went real good. And of course, I had to go black with my hair and all that on that movie, but it's fun, and we got another one to do. And they just, like I said, they just did the video for my Drink Alone song, and getting it out. They did the video for my Barn Burns Down, which it went number one. I've had a couple number ones on the indie charts, and I think I had a top 10. So everything's pretty good. And of course, but it got my attention, you know, from the big guys who gets my stuff and is helping me out and things like that. So I can't complain too much. The movie sort of helped me out. And they feature one of my songs in each movie that I do for them. They'll do that.
Oh, that's great. Oh, nice. So you co-starred in, it's called Red Forest. Is it a, are you a serial killer in the movie, or what are you, what's your part?
No, actually, I think I was the Indian chief in that one. I got to kill a couple. I got killed. Yeah, I got killed myself. I made it about 45 minutes into the movie.
Oh, that's good.
A demon took me out, you know.
A demon took you out. I love it. Where do we see it? We have to get it on Amazon?
It's Amazon Prime. It'll be on Netflix pretty soon. Netflix and Hulu and ones like that. And, of course, we've been trying to work on getting the TV show going about everything goes on with me and the family, the bear hunting, all the wild stuff. It's just everything that I'm into.
So is it going to be like a vlog on YouTube or Vivo, or how are you putting that out?
Well, they wanted to go with Amazon Prime, but I was sort of wanting to go with the deal with CMT.
Uh-huh.
And they seemed to think I'd make more money with Amazon Prime and I'd have control of it. So we're debating on that back and forth.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just doing like six or seven episodes and then just selling it to them, and then they decide the future, whether it goes how long or whatever. Amazon Prime, you know, it's from now on. You know, you get paid even after something happens to me and I'm dead, then the money goes to my family, you know?
Yeah, of course. Now, what would that be about? What's the series going to be about?
Oh, it's just more or less like a reality, I guess you would call it, because it's everyday things that goes on with me, my friends, my hunting, tackling these bears, wrestling them out, you know, digging, dragging them out of these holes when they run in on me, and kids, cooking, just every little thing.
I love it. I have a lot of filmmakers that are on my mailing list, you know, looking for music all the time and stuff. And they tell me about their projects, and they're really doing a lot with Amazon Prime, and just a lot of the different things are surprising me about what they're doing and how they're selling them. And it's amazing how much content they're buying up. Now, I do notice that, like, more and more as the year goes on, I see even more things being sent to my email address from Netflix and from Amazon Prime, things that I've never known. I don't know the people yet. These little, like, mini series just keep popping up.
Uh-huh.
And much like you're saying, they kind of look like YouTube vlogs, you know, like, and for that matter, even YouTube has a section that they're promoting and trying to make happen. You know, I feel like all of the YouTubers are starting production companies, and they're really going that next level from where they were creating vlogs, daily vlogs. Now they're actually doing episodes, and it seems to be a huge thing happening. Is that kind of what you feel like is happening with you?
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, it's more of another promotional push for my music. Starting out to be, but then, well, I'll tell you one. Here's one little episode. Like, I decided to get me an explosion for the show when I kick off the first song, "The Playing with Fire." I wanted that real loud explosion, so I built me a Civil War cannon.
Oh my god!
I did that. Well, I had to try it out because, you know, you don't want nothing to go wrong when you're doing the show live. So I had a can of powder. And I was putting powder in it, and my son, he was 13, he was looking at me, and I was putting more in it, and I'd look at him, I said, I wanted to grow on, I keep putting more in it. And finally, I just put the whole can of powder in it, and I just packed it in. I said, you need to go over and you stand behind that tree. I'm going to set this off and see what happens. And I sort of bent down beside of it and tapped it with a little hammer because I hadn't rigged the switch yet for the to set it off. And it exploded. Yeah, it knocked me probably about 10 feet back on my ass. And I got up. I said, wow. I said, that's the sound I'm looking for. The building shook. Neighbors a mile down the road, their tools shaking on their building. And they come. Everybody seemed to be heading toward my dad. That's where I was at when I did it. And I got up. And my son's eyes, he's looking at me. He got real big, like a half a dollar. And he started stuttering and said, Dad, you're bleeding. I looked side, and I had side of my face, everything on my left side. Side of my face was bleeding. It was seeping through my shirt and through my pants, everything on my left side. I told him, I said, we got to go to Lowe's. I said, I got to get another barrel. I said, we got to make this double thicker. So I didn't go to the doctor or nothing like that.
And oh, my gosh.
I kept feeling metal, and it was shrapnel. And, of course, I don't like needles and doctors and all that, so I let my wife get my hunting knife and dip it in some peroxide, and she started digging the shrapnel stuff out of my face and getting that done. And just little things like that goes on all the time.
Just little things like that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All
no.
Time.
Oh, Lord. Are you okay, though, right? You made it. Did it
oh,
heal?
Yeah. I just lost some blood. Yeah.
Oh,
healed
wow.
Right up. I've got more scars. And
well, you got me interested in seeing the series. That's for sure. I'm sold on it.
And it's just stuff like that. I was in your... So you're in Florida, right?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know of Alligator Alley?
Yep.
Down in Miami. Well, we was going through there and decided I wanted to catch me an alligator to bring home and put in my pond to raise up to eat. So we got to looking around, and all I had was a bungee cord and a claw hammer, and we had a pack of Ritz crackers left over. So me and the drummer got out there, and we got to beat around the water out in the canal. It wasn't hardly anybody. It was almost dark. It was getting late in the evening. And so we got one come up. So I laid on my belly where I could get a good swing. And I was going to pop him between the eyes and stun him with that hammer and wrap that bungee cord around his mouth and put him in the vehicle going. So we got there, and we'd throw a cracker out. He'd get that cracker. He kept coming closer and closer. He got there. I said, one more cracker. He dropped it. And I swung around that hammer. He come out of that water on me, and he was a whole lot bigger than I thought he was.
Oh, you know, my
gosh. He's about maybe 4 foot, but yeah, he's a whole lot bigger. So he about got my arm and went against the guardrail. But drummer, he's a big boy. He starts screaming like somebody's beating him with some kind of electric prod or something. You know, he was screaming going on, but he couldn't go nowhere. And I was against him, and it was just trying to stay out of reach of that gator. And he went back in the water. So we sort of looked at each other, so let's try it again. Let's get him a little closer going on. But Couldn't get him to come back to me, but I'd sure brought him home if I could got that bungee cord around his mouth.
Oh, my gosh. What about the bear? I saw a bear on your Facebook page. What was the story with the bear?
There's been a bunch of stories with different ones. The ones where you had to take one with a knife. I've had one that run in a hole after 7 hours, chased him. I usually chase him on foot, me and some dogs. And one, he ran into a cave. And so I could see it, so I shot. And, I wasn't sure what's going on. So we crawled in the hole and didn't have no flashlight. So I was having to feel around just to make sure. I didn't know if he's alive or dead or if there's any more in there. So I just kept crawling, and I'd reach ahead a little bit, just touch. So I finally felt a little fur. And then I'd have to shoot again just to make sure, you know, and we'd drag it out of there. But I mount them. I use them on stage as props. My label wanted me to, all my animals, stuff like that, they want me to use them as props on stage and do things like that. And I said, well, it can't hurt nothing, I guess. And so we'd ride it. Sometimes we got it on tracks. It'd go across the stage, you know, the guitar on fire. You on the bear's back. You scooting across the stage on it.
Oh, my God. No wonder you got to do it.
Teenagers, they love it.
No wonder you got to do a TV show. I can see why.
I'm usually trying to tell
artists and convince them just to do a little live stream here and there, but my goodness. And I could, if you don't, I mean, I just don't know what to tell you. This is just great stuff. You know what I mean? You have to. You really do. Especially because you're working so hard on stage to get attention anyway. All these stories are amazing. I would love to see the footage of them actually happening. You just getting out there and getting in trouble. That'd be funny.
Well, I've got that. I've got the footage. That's why they just want to like you do the show. And some episodes, they like move the camera to like a TV screen. And we'll put the footage on that TV screen like you're going to, because it's not real quality like, you know, your regular TV cameras. And, like, it's still high high definition in 1080, but it's not like the cameras that we use for the videos. And
yeah.
So they have to use the footage like that where it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be blurry or anything. So they've got it worked out the way they want to do it. So we're just getting time to get everything done is the problem.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? The time. That's just one thing that's just huge. It's always about the time. It's like everything, every project you get into, it's always longer than you anticipate. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you want it done right. You want to do things that are quality and that you're really proud of. So, you know, sometimes you just have to let them run long. But, you know, coming from what you're working at so hard to make sure that you entertain people and you get the attention and you build momentum, you've got to be conflicted a little bit, right? Is it difficult for you to sit back and not have things back to back lined up?
Oh, everything is sometimes over, but I'm going from one project off of one and rest of the day into another one. There's something going all the time, and then it's radio. The songs are going good on the mainstream, and we got them worldwide. We're in several countries, or we're doing real good.
That's wonderful.
It's keeping me busy. I mean, I'm thankful for it.
Yeah,
and
for
you know,
sure.
I've got my daughter, got her going into the industry, and got her
in
a
music?
Good deal in the works. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So she'll have her deal finished up before she graduates. She graduates in May, so
that's
she'll
exciting.
Have either it's either be with Nickelodeon or Disney. So I'm letting my music lawyers handle all that stuff.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful to hear. I'm excited. I'll be looking forward to hearing it and seeing what she comes out with because I love to see family taking into music, you know? It's such a great experience. Oh. What a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, it surprised me because I didn't think that she would ever want to get into something like that. And
really?
But I did a song. I wrote a song for an upcoming animated movie called Dip, be with DreamWorks, and I needed a girl's voice on the other half of it for the demo.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I asked close, you know, I'd let do shows with me and things like that, and everybody's wanting to know how much they're getting paid. That's all you hear. I said, well, I'll just get my daughter. I'll get her out of bed and let her do it. No, I've heard her sing when she was littler, and she didn't want to do it, but I drug her to Nashville anyway, and we got down there and we started a song. And she got a feel of the studio, and she was liking that. Her eyes, you know, got real big. Oh, she was getting into it. And after the guys heard the demo, then they decided they wanted her for the voice of it. So they dropped Gloria Estefan for the part, and they put her in it to do the because her voice is so country and got that little accent and stuff.
Yeah,
and
Gloria Estefan is an odd choice, huh? She has a very different.
It's about a cartoon about flies, where one is coming out of South America, trying to make it into the music industry, and comes into Nashville and meets this little young boy, you know, and so they swap. So I reckon Pitbull is supposed to be doing the other voice for it. So they changed it around because it's supposed to be a boy coming from South America. So they changed the script around after they heard her singing the song and to make it the girl and did it that way because he just liked the way she talked and all that.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
worked out
great.
Pretty good.
Well, you'll have to send it my way so I can hear it. It'll be amazing.
Oh,
amazing to see what you guys are up to.
Yeah, we've got a song for right now for Disney and Nickelodeon, but I can't post it. I can't release it. We haven't sit on it until negotiations are done and all
for
that.
Sure.
But it's a real good song. It's co-written with us with Hillary and Haley Duff, and it's a good song.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, congratulations. It's so great to hear your story and see all that you've been doing. I know you're working really hard and, you know, and I'm excited and inspired by it because I love to see people just going full force, you know, and doing so many projects. I think it's wonderful. You're certainly going to inspire a lot of listeners because they're going to feel lazy now. And I'm going to be really excited to tell them that they are.
Well, I figure if I'm going to fail and something's not going to work, it's all going to be all my fault. I'm not going to be able to point fingers, say, well, this guy didn't do that right or this one didn't do that right. It's all on me, and that's why I take control of it and I throw it to it.
Yeah.
Nobody blame but me.
No. Regret's the worst thing in the world. You never want to deal with that. So you may as well fail hard. But you know what?
I have that.
I never consider anything a failure if you just try it, because I think a failure is not trying it. That's the only failure in my book.
Yeah. I had the chance to make it back years ago. And I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to fly. I got offered a 2-year deal over there. Mm. And just the thought of getting on them planes back then and me not controlling the pilot, you know, if I keep flying myself.
I totally understand. I hate to fly.
It might be, you know, it may not be my time to go, but it might be somebody else's that's on the plane too. So I just sort of... Sort of worried about that stuff. Huh? They won't give you a parachute. They won't give you a little rubber boat in case you're going to be hitting the ocean or a knife to fight off sharks or something. You know, give me a chance.
I love it.
But I regret not doing it.
I'm so glad we got to talk. Peebo, thanks for being on the show with me. And you certainly are a wild man.
Well, that's what they say. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. That's Wild Man Peebo Wilson. What a story. This is a great story. I could have listened to him tell stories all night. I can see why they want to do a TV series on him, because it's really interesting, you know. And for those of you feeling like, you know, you're still in the bucket of excuses that I hear all day long, well, I just found a way to make it worse, because I'm just going to put him right in front of you and you're going to just like die, because he is doing so much. So many projects, from making music to stage shows to designing, like, you know, pyramids, all kinds of interesting things he's getting into. And then a series. He's already done a movie. He's got a new one coming out. And I'm really excited that he's part of our network and our music community. Well on him, and good luck in those future projects. Also wishing well to his daughter as she heads into her own journey in music and all that's entailed. And I have no doubt movies too, because this is exactly where everything's going. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode today, and I will see you back again tomorrow. Don't forget to take a look at our playlist and go on over to AVA Live Radio on the website to study up on all these artists and get connected with them so you don't miss a single day. This is Jacqueline Jacks for AVA Live Radio. Have a great one. Catch you again tomorrow.
Hi, this is Tiffany, and I love AVA Live Radio.
This is Brian J. Klein, and I love AVA Live
Hey,
Music.
This is Rob Hill from Canada, and I absolutely love AVA Live Radio.
Hi, this is Tara Everly of Iridescence, and I love AVA Live Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Jacqueline Jacks, and I love AVA Live Radio.
This is Lainey Nash, and I love AVA Live
this
Radio.
This is Chris Peterson, and I love AVA Live
Hi, this
Radio.
This is Naomi Thump, and I love AVA.